do have to thank our worship team coming up here with no practice. And we just said, here's what we're doing this morning, and they've done it. So they're very thankful for them and their abilities to be able to do this. Well, this is one of those days that we're aware of, and really, in an intellectual context, we have an understanding of. But the truth of the matter is, we're never fully prepared for it when it does happen. And we're talking about sudden death. And the suddenness or the tragedy of it are hard for us to comprehend. But that's where we need God's strength to be real and to be powerful in each one of our lives. And his presence during these times is what we really long for. And it's where we can find our comfort and where we can find our strength. We've been talking these past 3 weeks about being prepared. So this is ironic in one sense, but also telling God was preparing us, actually. And we talked about being a prepared people when we began. And that was basically talking about personal sanctification, because the fact is God wants to bless us and bless us abundantly, but we have to be prepared to receive that. Last week we were talking about being prepared for war, because the Bible explains to us that we have enemies. Three enemies in particular: the world, the flesh, and the devil, who would like to defeat us and who would like to extinguish our light for Christ. This week, my studies led me to the topic of prepared for testing. Prepared for testing. But I'm going to set that one aside for a week. And I think it's only appropriate that we consider this morning being prepared for death. I think it's just important for us to understand this and to recognize it this morning. Let's ask God's help as we consider this morning, and just to have clarity and focus as we think about this. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for the songs of hope that we've been able to sing this morning. The fact that you are a wonderful Savior, the fact that you're there, and Lord, that one day anything that we experience in this life, Lord, that's of a negative nature, Lord, one day we'll look back on that and it'll be worth it all to live for you, Lord, to follow you because of the blessings and the hope that we will find awaiting for us one day in heaven. And Lord, we just ask as we consider, Lord, this topic of death, Lord, because it's very relevant to us right now. We ask that you will guide us by your Spirit. Lord, help us to understand, but Lord, help us also, Lord, to see past it, Lord, to the wonderful hope that we have in Christ. So we ask, God, your strength and your help and your guidance by your Spirit as we look at this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, it's always been quipped that there are two things that are always guaranteed in life: death and taxes. And we often hear that, and we often hear it in a joking manner, but it's actually very true. And when it comes to death, we know that our day is coming, and also many do prepare for it by, you know, many people go out and they pre-plan their funeral, and they buy a cemetery plot, and they update their will, and then they generally get all their business in order to prepare for this particular day. But what is sad to me is that many make all these physical and material preparations, but they neglect the spiritual preparation for this particular day. And when it's a guaranteed thing, it's something that you ought to be prepared for and make preparations for. I want to go to three scriptures today that just remind us of this subject of death. The first one I want to go to is found in Hebrews chapter 9. And there's this verse in Hebrews chapter 9. It says, "And it is appointed for men to die once to die. After this, the judgment. And so we recognize, first of all, that death is an appointment that we all must keep. But this verse also reminds us that it's not an appointment without consequence. Because it says it's appointed to men to die once, and we know that that's true. But it says, but after this, the judgment. And so it reminds us that one day we must stand and give account for our life here on this planet, on planet Earth. And I want to remind you that the only criteria for this judgment will be, it will not be a judgment on whether you're a good person or not. It will not be a judgment on what you did and what you didn't do. This particular judgment has one criteria, and that's basically, what have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you received his gift of love and life? We often sing the little chorus around here, he paid a debt he did not owe because, why? I owed a debt I could not pay. And so we need to be aware of this, that one day, whether we believe it or not, we will give an account before the creator of the universe, the one who's created us. We will give an account before him. Not necessarily of what we did in our life, but what we did with the knowledge we have of the Lord Jesus, the one who came and gave his life for us on our behalf. And the next part of this verse, because you'll notice there that there's a comma at the end of that statement. And verse 28 says this, and so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. You might look at that first part of that verse and say, man, that's pretty negative. It's appointed unto men to die and then the judgment. That might look negative. But there's a positive aspect to it. Jesus Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. That means he was offered for you and for me so that we wouldn't have to face that judgment. He sacrificed himself, the just for the unjust. He sacrificed his life so that I could be redeemed and saved. And that's the good news from this verse. The second thing I want to remind you of death, first thing that it's an appointment and it's inevitable that we must keep this appointment. The second thing I want to remind us today is that death is an enemy. Death is an enemy. No matter how we view it, death is not our friend. No matter how we view it. For the believer in Christ, death, we believe, is the portal to life eternal, to that place of bliss and happiness that's unknown here on earth. And we believe that that's true, but yet, ultimately, death is an enemy. And the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Philippians, he alluded to this because the Apostle Paul had this wonderful experience where he actually visioned what was in heaven. And God gave him this wonderful vision, and then, of course, he came back from it. And he wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 to 24, he says this, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He recognized that part. He says, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. He was saying, you know, I'm serving the Lord here. I'm seeing fruit from my labor, seeing people saved and redeemed and to become citizens of heaven. He says, that's a great thing. But if I had to make a choice, he's saying, wow, that's quite a choice to have to make that choice. He says in verse 23, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And so Paul recognized that to be with Christ would be much better. But yet he saw his responsibility that God had given him to stay and to preach the gospel. And so when someone passes away, death is an enemy. And to us who remain behind, that's where it becomes a reality. Because we're left to carry on without a loved one, to function in life with something missing from our life. And it is, and it will be, a struggle. And many of you here can attest to that fact. But the scripture also reminds us that one day even this most formidable of all enemies will be silenced and have no more control over human life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a wonderful passage that reminds us of this reality. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to start reading at verse 20, but you're just going to see the last verse in the phrase that we're going to read. It says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead," speaking of the Lord Jesus himself. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards those who are Christ that is coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God, kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is death." And so we see here from this passage that we're reminded that the day is coming, that death will be no more and will not have any power over God's creatures or creations anymore. And we're reminded here that it will be a day of victory when all those who oppose him, all those who oppose God will be silenced. And we know in that day, as the scripture says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And as we continue down this particular chapter, 1 Corinthians, we come down to verse 53. And we read this in verse 53. It says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality." That's what will happen. It's necessary to happen. "So when this corruptible," which is our body, our sinful body, "has put on incorruption," which is the new glorious body, "and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." We know that death is inevitable. Death is an enemy, but we also know that someday death will be swallowed up in victory. And this is actually a quote from Isaiah chapter 25. And Isaiah wrote in chapter 25, he said, "And he will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken." And that's one of the great hopes that we have, is that one day this thing called death will be swallowed up, will be defeated, and we will know victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that'll be a wonderful day. And we sang that. What a day that will be. What a day that will be. A wonderful day for each of us. So we know that death is inevitable. It's something that we all must face someday. The circumstances and things that surround it are unknown to us. Probably a good thing. But yet one day we will face this thing called death. We know that death is an enemy. It's our enemy. It's something that we run from a little bit each day. It's an enemy because in the end, when death takes someone who we love, who is close to us, we're left with the pieces. But we also know that death will one day be destroyed. And that's the great hope that we have today in Christ, is that one day death will be destroyed. And as we complete that chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says there, "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And so it's to our advantage as believers in Christ to work, to serve our God, to do whatever we can to give the message of the gospel to those around us, to give them this word of hope. And it's in our best interest. And one day the Lord will reward us for this work that we do. Despite the tragic circumstances that we're facing today and our sorrow and our emotional pain that we're feeling, we know that ultimately that the victory is won, even despite death. And we know from the scriptures that all who have placed their faith in Christ have this assurance and this hope. And what is more, even more astounding to me is that one day we'll be welcomed into his kingdom as children and as heirs of his kingdom to live with him forever. And then this verse also reminded us of the fact that all we do here and now to help others find this gift of salvation and eternal life will not go unrewarded in that day. But I want each one of you to consider this morning three things. The first thing is, are you ready for that day? Yesterday morning started out just like any other morning. But by mid-afternoon, it changed completely. So the question is, are you ready for that day? You know, there's people who sit in church week after week and hear the message of the gospel but never respond. Keep putting it off, putting it off, putting it off. I implore you today, don't put it off. Make sure today that you're ready for that day. Make sure you know for sure that you have eternal life. That's by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the one who gave his life for you, the one that loves you, the one that sacrificed all so that you might have life. Are you ready for that day? Second thing is, are you looking for that day? Are you looking for that day? You know, we know it all must come. It comes to all of us. And so we need to be prepared for that day in the sense that we have made heart preparation and life preparation to face the Lord Jesus on that day. And the third thing is, are you working for that day? As believers, really, that's why we're here, isn't it? To take the message of the gospel to the world. That's why we're here. And it says that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. It becomes very real to us when we see someone pass away. In this case, we have a great hope because even last Sunday night, we heard both of these gentlemen stand up and give a word of testimony. You know, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. To give that word of hope and testimony. And that gives us comfort, even in this circumstance. But are you able to stand up and give that testimony, that testify that same thing? And so we need to do all we can with our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones around us to make sure that they're ready for this day when it comes. So we need to be ready for that day. We need to be looking for that day. And we need to be working for that day. We need to be prepared for death. Just as we're prepared for life, just as we're prepared for all of these other things that we've been talking about, we need to also be prepared for death. It's a hard thing when we stand on this side of it, but when we actually face it ourselves and cross over to the other side, what a day it will be. It'll be a glorious, wonderful day for us when we meet the Lord Jesus face to face, when we're in his presence, when we are there in his kingdom. It'll be a wonderful day. But we need God to comfort us, strengthen us, give us wisdom and ability to deal with what we're facing today. I encourage each one to pray for the family, support the family, do whatever we can to ease their burden, ease their pain through this time. We're going to sing one more piece as we finish, just to kind of wrap it up and this whole thought and to help us realize that, you know, death is an enemy. Yes, it hurts and it stings us right now, but there's coming a day when the Lord Jesus will have victory and we'll experience this totally. So let's, what a day that will be. And I want to challenge each one here today. And if you've never made the decision to trust Christ, this is your day. Because you need to be ready for this day, because we don't know. The Bible says that our life is like a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. It says our life is times that quick, and we need to be prepared for this day. But we also have hope, even through the circumstance. What a day that will be. Let's stand together and sing this as we finish.
Day, glorious day that will be.
If you would like to make sure today, I'm going to stay right up here, and you just come on up and talk to me, and I'll share with you how you can know for sure and how you can have this great hope in your life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the hope that we have in Christ. And Lord, we thank you, God, that even, Lord, through our trials, this circumstance that we're in right now, we thank you, God, that you're able to give us comfort and peace and grace and strength. Lord, we pray for Carolyn and Loretta, especially this morning, Lord, that you'd give them extra strength, Lord, for this trial. Lord, for each family member, the children, Lord, brothers and sisters, and all the other relatives, we pray, God, that you'll just comfort and strengthen them. Lord, as they rally together with each other, may they find strength, Lord, in each other's company. Lord, each of us, Lord, help us to support them, Lord, through prayer and, Lord, whatever way we can. And we thank you, God, that even through tragedy, we can find hope because we know the one who can overcome, who has overcome death, and, Lord, will give us the victory. And so we ask, God, that you'll cause us, Lord, to reflect on these things today. May it give us strength and hope and courage in this life. So we just thank you, God, for meeting with us. We ask your blessing on each one as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.